2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we'll start reading at verse 13. We stand for the reading of the word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to title this just simply, The Gospel Call. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to be here this morning. And we are aware of our dependence on you. And we are in need of your help. Asking you, Lord, to help me that I could be a blessing to this congregation. Praying, Lord, that our hearts would be open to the Word of God. I pray, Jesus, that you'd minister to needs in this house. For you are aware of our hearts. You are aware of the needs we brought here this morning. You know, Lord, how to help us. I pray that by the Spirit of God, you would help us in this meeting. We'll give you the glory and honor and praise. We ask it in the lovely name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you for being here this morning. We have several visitors with us, and we want you to know we are glad to have you here in the house of the Lord with us this morning. And all of you, we're glad that you're here to worship the Lord. Preaching to you this morning on the gospel call. In this passage of Scripture, Paul has been talking about the second coming of the Lord and the events that surround that second coming of the Lord. And he changes direction here in my text and begins to talk about the saints of God, the brethren, and the blessing that the Lord has bestowed upon those who are called brethren. Those are the people of God. And I want to call your attention to three words in this passage of Scripture. I want you to see that the brethren are beloved, they are chosen, they are called. They are beloved, they are chosen, they are called. That is the record we have here of the brethren. That is the people of God. They are beloved, they are chosen, they are called. First of all, let's think about this term. He says, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. You are loved by the Lord. Now, we heard in Sunday school this morning a wonderful lesson on the love of God. Brother Mike taught us this morning about the love of Jesus for us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And there is a love that God commended to us. He commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But I'm not talking now about the general love of God for souls. I'm talking about the special love of God for his people. And there is a special love of God. You are the apple of his eye. You are precious in his sight. You are the one that he bought with his blood, that he redeemed by his blood. You are precious in the eyes of the Lord. Sometimes we don't think like that. Sometimes all we think is that God is sitting up in heaven just waiting for us to mess up, make a mistake, and ready to throw us out, boot us out, get rid of us, and bring judgment on us. But You know, that's really not the way God is. God loves you. You are beloved of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh my. When we read in the book of John chapter 14, this passage of Scripture came to my mind. He said in verse 21, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him." So there is a special love that God has for his people. You are loved. You are the beloved of the Lord. God really cares about us. He's really concerned about us. He's given to us promises that nobody else has. Privileges that nobody else has. Blessings that nobody else has. I'm telling you, when you belong to God, you are His child. You can call God Father. It makes a difference when you have a relationship to God. Jesus taught us that we could pray like this: "Our Father, which art in heaven." Our Father. Whose Father? The Father of the saved. The Father of the redeemed. The Father of those who have responded to His call. Our Father, which art in heaven. You see, we recognize in our prayers right off that we have a relationship to God, that God has brought us into His family and made us one of His children. Now, you don't mean to do... I mean, this is not evil, really, that you have particular concern for your children more than you would for somebody else's children. That's not evil. That's the responsibility God gave you. It's the love that He's given you for your own flesh and blood, that you have a particular concern. You have a particular love. You have a particular place in your heart for those people who belong to you, whose your blood is in their veins, and you have a special love for them, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's the way God made it. And this is what we see in God Himself, you see. Oh my, we are His sons and daughters. We've been adopted into His family. God loves you. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I think sometimes we need to be reminded of that God really loves you. Praise God. And has given you some wonderful promises. He said, "If you call on my name, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it." Brother, this is Jesus talking to His disciples. He's talking to His people. "You ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Because you are beloved of the Lord." Hallelujah. Do you feel loved this morning? Has God done so much for you that you feel loved? I've told you before, I'll tell you this morning, I feel like a pampered child. God has been so good to me. I mean, I feel like I'm loved this morning. Now, I don't always feel that way. There may be some days I wake up with the world on top of me. Days I wake up with so many troubles mounting in my life that I might not feel like I'm loved. But it doesn't matter whether I feel like it or not. I have a promise from God. I have a word from God. God has assured me that I am loved by Him. And it doesn't matter what kind of problems I've got in my life. You are loved by God. No matter what kind of problems you've got, you are loved by the Lord. That's the reason you're saved this morning, is because you were loved by God. Secondly, you are chosen by the Lord. You, from the beginning, He said, He chose you to salvation. Now, this is not a selection of individuals, what we call unconditional election. This is not God arbitrarily selecting a few people to be saved and selecting others to be lost. That's not what we're talking about here. But God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Jesus told His disciples, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." It's not of him that runneth, it's not of him that willeth, it is of God that showeth mercy. And God determined from the very beginning who would be saved. He determined that everybody that responded to Him in faith would be saved. And everybody who did not respond to Him in faith would be lost. This is what God determined from the beginning, from eternity past, that everybody who would believe on His Son would be saved. And everybody who would not believe on His Son would be lost. That's what God determined. And we have been chosen in Him. Listen, this chosenness has two aspects. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. There's in this chosenness, there is an action by God. The sanctification of the Spirit. The Spirit of God works the will of God in your life. It is God's will to save you. I don't care who you are. It is the will of God to save you. I preached to you some time back. If God had His way, nobody would be lost. If God had His way, nobody would go to hell. But it's God works with us through His Spirit so that we are chosen through sanctification of the Spirit of God. In order to save us, God sends His Spirit to convict us of our sins. This is part of the sanctifying by the Spirit of God. He convicts us of our sins. He brings us to the place that we are willing to say, I am a sinner. I have transgressed the law of God. I am guilty before God. I deserve eternity in hell. That is what conviction is. When a man is ready to get right with God, he's only ready to get right with God when he becomes aware of the fact, I have sinned against God, I deserve the judgment of God, and there's only one way for me to escape. God has made a way for me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The sanctifying work of the Spirit begins in conviction of sin. This is before we ever get saved. Did you know that there were people in the past when the Holy Ghost was working so strongly in this country and revivals in the past that people would get under conviction of sin and clean up their life on their way to Christ more than people who claim to be filled with the Holy Ghost today? Oh yeah. I mean people would clean up their life under conviction of sin. The things that God was dealing with them about, they'd start laying aside those things. Not in order to be saved, but because the Holy Ghost was convicting them of that, and they were realizing that this is wrong. I want to get saved. I want to do right. I want to live for Jesus. And the Holy Ghost was cleaning them up. You know, if that prodigal son had come back to father's house, and he was celebrating life in the far country, he'd have never got back in father's house. It's only because he come back sorry for what he had done, ashamed of the kind of life he'd been living, that father came out and welcomed him back home. You can't come back to father's house celebrating your life in the far country. You can't come back to father's house unless you're ashamed of the kind of life that you've been living. This is part of the sanctifying of the Spirit of God. Is He makes us ashamed of the kind of life that we've been living out there in sin. Causes us to realize that we are sinners. And brings about a change in our life. We are born again of the water and of the Spirit. That is the Spirit's work, that He regenerates us and makes us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Changes our attitude about God. Changes our attitude about sin. Makes us aware of the fact that God loves us and that we can be saved through the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God ushers us into the kingdom of God. Did you know it doesn't matter how much a person knows, it doesn't matter how much they hear about the gospel, if the Holy Ghost is not working with them, they'll never make it inside the kingdom of God. It is the work of the Spirit of God that sets us apart, that ushers us into the kingdom of God, that gives us the new birth, that sanctifies our life. It is the work of the Spirit of God. We are chosen through the operation of the Spirit of God, the sanctifying work of the Spirit of God. Brother, we must have the operation of God's Spirit to see souls born again. Do you remember how the Spirit of God brought you to Jesus. You know, sometimes you ought to think about how it was that you really got saved. What did God do to bring you to the cross? What did God do to clean up your life? What did God do to save your soul? How did He bring you? What did the Spirit do? How did He talk to you? How did He deal with you? None of us would be saved this morning if it had not been for the working of the Spirit of God, sanctifying us, setting us apart, bringing us to God, cleaning up our life, cleaning up our heart. We are chosen through the sanctifying work of the Spirit of God. That's God's action toward us. But then there's the response of the individual. We are chosen through belief of the truth. You see, there's got to be a response in us to the truth, to the gospel message. God works with us, but we have to respond to the gospel. We got to respond to the truth. We must believe the truth. God tells us we must believe. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever does what? Believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, God is presenting the truth to us along in life. None of us here this morning, I'm sure, have an excuse for not adopting the truth in our life. God has exposed us to the truth. We've had the opportunity to hear it, to know something about the truth, and to do something about the truth. When you hear the truth, listen to me, brother, sister, when you hear the truth, it brings you into accountability before God. You've got to do something about the truth. It brings you into accountability before God. Just above here, we read about those who did not love the truth. God gave them over to believe a lie because they did not believe the truth. It comes a time when, you know, God opens our understanding. We can see the truth. We can know it. We can believe it. We can understand it. But if we don't act on it, if we don't take advantage of that moment that God, through the Spirit of the Lord, opens our mind and we see the truth about ourselves, we see the truth about salvation, and we don't do anything about it. We go on rejecting the truth. This is part of the judgment of God on sin. There came a time they could not recognize the truth. It's called blindness. When a person gets to the point where they cannot recognize the truth. And so, this is our response to God. We believe the truth. We accept the truth. We act on the truth. We begin to build our life on the truth that God gives us through His Word. Finally, there's the call of God. He called us by this gospel unto the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've been called. Thank God that the Lord called us. Every one of us here this morning no doubt have heard the call of God. And if you haven't heard the call of God, I trust that this will be the morning that you hear the call of God. You remember Samuel, the little boy lying in the temple. His mother brought him there and she dedicated him to God. And he's working in the temple area there with Eli, the high priest. And he lays down to sleep that night and God comes to his door and calls him, Samuel, Samuel. He jumps up and runs to Eli and said, you call me. And Eli said, I didn't call you, son. Go lie back down. He goes and lays down again. And the Lord comes to his door again and speaks to him and says, Samuel, Samuel. And he jumps up and goes to Eli and said, you call me. And Eli said, I didn't call you, son. Go lay back down. He lays down again. Spirit of the Lord comes again to his door and speaks to him and says, Samuel, Samuel. And he jumps up and runs to Eli and says, Eli, I know you did call me. And Eli recognized that it was the Lord. And he said, son, it's the Lord. Go lay back down. If he comes again, tell him, speak, Lord. for thy servant hears. And so Samuel goes and lays down again and again. The Lord comes and stands in the door and speaks to him and says, Samuel, Samuel. This time Samuel said, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And God spoke to Samuel that day, and he became acquainted with the Lord and became a prophet of God from that day forward. We don't ever know how many times God will come to our door and call our name. But this is part of the blessing of the people of God. We have been called. Called unto the glory of the Son of God. Called unto the glory, the sharing, the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory begun is when we get saved. Glory consummated is when we go to heaven. And right now in this world, we begin to partake of the glories of Jesus Christ. What is the glories of Jesus Christ? It's the character of Jesus Christ. It's the unblemished character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His glory is demonstrated in His character. His glory is demonstrated in His power. And you and I share in the glory of Jesus Christ right now in this world. But we're going to share in a greater measure of that glory when Jesus comes back and the trumpet sounds. And we're going to rise to meet Him in the air and be transported to that heavenly home. And there we will enjoy the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for all eternity and share in that glory in the heavenly realms for all eternity. You and I, as the people of God, are headed to glory this morning. Thank God. This is the end. This is the anticipation. This is the reward of the saints of God. We're going to participate and share in the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When you understand the end of the journey, it makes a difference what road you're on. When you understand that the journey, the end of the journey on that broad road is destruction, the end of the journey on that narrow road is everlasting life, sharing in the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano this morning. I don't think I've done my text justice this morning, but this is what was on my heart. The call of the gospel. I wonder this morning if there's a soul right here, under the sound of my voice, that Jesus is calling you. Calling you to a life of righteousness. Calling you out of a life of sin. Calling you to trade your sins for salvation. Your load for relief. He'll give you the garment of praise for that spirit of heaviness. God will open your eyes to see the truth. Praise God. And so, this is so critical. That we respond to the truth of God's Word, the gospel message. How much longer we have to hear that gospel message. How many more times will God call us? We don't know. But it's essential that we respond to the call of God. So while Sister Judy sings this morning, we're going to open the altars, give you a chance to pray. No, I don't believe that it was an accident that we are together like we are this morning. I believe the Lord has you here for a reason, purpose. If you're not saved, Jesus certainly brought you here to save you this morning. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I'm sure that God wants to save you today. Not tomorrow, not next week, but today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. We're going to wait just a few moments. If you're here lost without Jesus, I'm going to give you a chance to pray. Give your heart to Jesus.
Jesus.
knows your name. Calling your name.
Jesus is calling.
He knocks on our heart's door.
The weary to rest.
We open the door, He'll come in.
Calling today.
Sup with us and we with Him.
Calling today.
While we wait just a few moments.
Bring Him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away.
Things are now ready. Jesus is ready to save
you.
Anybody in this place, you're lost. You need
Jesus.
Would you come to these altars, bow in the presence of Jesus. Surrender your heart to Him this morning. Jesus will save you.
And
leave Him with the joy of the Lord.
Come and no longer.
Peace of God.